It's 8 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial, Tufts Freeform Radio. Today is Sunday, March the 5th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in the sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. And our phone number is 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. If you like numbers, just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. There we go. And I'd love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be right back. Okay, 414 here on WFOM Memphis. Had to set the board up the way I like it. We had a new group in front of me, and I don't remember the name of their program. They did tell me. But I was so involved in getting my stuff together that, anyway, four ladies and two gentlemen were here. I guess they're all one group. And, you know, we'll see how long they stay. Yeah, it's a difficult, I guess they started at 2 to 4. But anyway, here we are. Talking Sports. I'm Donnelly Brown. This is another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Like I said, we're here every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. Talking Sports. Love to get you involved in the conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. And our phone number is 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Let's get right into the sports scores today. Women's basketball, UConn Husky ladies. I guess if you're a lady, you would want to be called Husky, would you? Anyway, the UConn Huskies continue their role. The 105th win in a row, 30-0 this season. They pounded Tulsa 105-57, Baylor 95, Texas Tech 63, Notre Dame 84, Louisville 73, Maryland 100, Michigan State 89. South Carolina 89, Kentucky 77, Mississippi State 66, Texas A&M 50, Oregon State 63, UCLA 53. Purdue upset Ohio State. Purdue was unranked. They defeated Ohio State, who ranked number 9, 71-60. Stanford 71, Oregon 56. Texas 71, Oklahoma State 60, Duke 57, Miami 52. Another upset, West Virginia, who was unranked, defeated Oklahoma, ranked number 19, 82-58. Drake 105, Wichita State 89. Kansas State 74, Iowa State 67, and Temple 67, Houston 53. In that UConn game, Collier got 24 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. Samuelson got 19 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. Chong got 10 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. Nurse got 2 points, 6 rebounds, and 1 assist. Williams got 17 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. Irwin got 14 points off the bench. UConn is tough. No rebounds, 1 assist, and a steal. Butler got 13 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, no steals, and 1 block. Bent got 5 points. Dangerfield got 11 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, and a steal. And Lawler did not score, but she got 1 rebound. And so the Kentucky women keep rolling right along. I haven't seen all the other teams out there. Baylor is ranked number 2. Notre Dame is ranked number 3. They've already beaten Notre Dame. Haven't seen Baylor, so therefore I can't tell. South Carolina, I've seen them, and they lost the game primarily because I I contributed to poor coaching. UConn's defense has sagged in. They played a person in front and a person in back of the South Carolina center, and either they decided they were able to, you know, not. They were just going to, they didn't hit any outside shots. They didn't do much penetrating in the part of the game that I saw. And so, therefore, UConn eventually pulled away and won it handily. And the game was at UConn, so that might have also helped. But anyway, I think South Carolina definitely had a height advantage, or could utilize a height advantage at virtually every position if they wanted to. I think they could have done a better job. And I think because UConn only has one center, everybody else is, you know, plays the guard position, really. They have no forwards, really, in their starting rotation anyway. But in games like today, last night when they beat Tulsa, they got more of their bench in, and they have another center coming in off the bench. And I understand that next year, Samuelson, who's only going to be a junior next year, who's their leading scorer, is going to be helped because they have a 6'7 center coming out of high school who is committed to UConn. And so they could be tough for the next, who knows, 4, 5, 6 years. Okay, they're going to make the old Celtics records look passe. And they've already beaten up on John Wooden and his UCLA team records. 420 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, March the 5th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. And love to get you involved in the sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Be right back.
America's bravest warriors are returning home wounded. Here's one of them.
My name is Norberto Lara. I served for 11 years in the United States Army. While I was on a combat patrol in Baqaba, Iraq, a rocket-propelled grenade took my arm off at the shoulder. When I came home, I felt alone. My family was around me, but I couldn't talk to them about what I'd seen and what I'd done. I remember just thinking, man, the way I am right now, I don't want to live. I was discharged from the Army, and I've been working with the Wounded Warrior Project since 2007. They don't have to be severely wounded to be with the Wounded Warrior Project. We do have a lot of guys that have post-traumatic stress disorder. Being able to share your story, I guess it kind of helps you wrap your mind around what did happen over there. Just because you've left the military doesn't mean your life is over. Because when these guys are coming home, I'm kind of leading and training them. Instead of for combat, I'm leading and training them to heal. If I come away with anything from Wounded Warrior Project, it's them giving my life back. My name is Norby, and yes, I do suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, but I'm okay.
Don't suffer in silence. Contact WoundedWarriorProject.org.
And this is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and A Brown Perspective on Sport. 422 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time was 11 degrees when I came in this morning. We'll see how it gets later on in the day. I was telling the folks on in front of me that the best thing about the morning thus far is that it's not that windy. If they had, if we had the wind that we've had, you know, around the area out this morning, it would be brutal. And they were all walking, so I told them to walk fast. That was my advice. Okay, 423 here on WMFO in Medford. We gave you the ladies' scores in college basketball. Let's go to the men. Yesterday, Kansas was ranked number one, defeated. Who did they face? I can't read my own writing. Kansas 90, Oklahoma State 85. I guess Pierre is kind of sad about that one. Villanova 81, Georgetown 55. Here they're thinking about someone talking about firing Thompson. Well, you know, Georgetown is not the mecca for basketball players anymore since Pat Ewing and Allen Iverson left. They have not been recruiting, I don't believe, the top players. I don't think it's coaching. I think it's just that they, you know, players tend to go to where they can do their one-and-done thing on a big stage, and Georgetown is not in that category anymore. Ask the people who are trying to recruit players for BC. I said, when BC went to the ACC, I said, that is a big-time mistake. BC's not recruiting the football or the basketball players that they need to compete with the other colleges. Hockey players, now that's another story. They're right up there. They're one of the best hockey teams in the country and have been for years, along with Boston University and Harvard and then, you know, the teams that are out in the Midwest, Minnesota and some other teams like that, who have been consistently, you know, on top of the hockey, the college hockey world. Okay, but we're not talking hockey. We're talking men's basketball, right? All right, why did you get off on hockey, Darnley? That's the way my mind works. It happens when you get old. Villanova 81, Georgetown 55, UCLA 77. UCLA 77, Washington State 68. Gonzaga 82, Pacific 50. Now, see, that's why I said Gonzaga's lost their first game. And I said, you know, playing the teams that they've been playing, you know, you don't know how good they are because, you know, you're way out of, over the class of the other teams you're playing. That's not, maybe not the fault of the players, but, you know, hey, get into a tougher league and we'll see. We'll be able to gauge during the course of the season whether Gonzaga is a legitimate March Madness team or not. North Carolina 90s, the group in front of me, one of the guys in the group in front of me won. Oh, if I was going to talk about the North Carolina Duke game, I can tell you North Carolina won 90-83. See, when you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's very difficult to go in depth on every single game. And so, therefore, getting the scores, and if I can talk some stuff off the top of my head, I'll do that. But, can't come, you know, just don't have the time, you know, to gather all that information. So anyway, for all you North Carolina fans, you won over Duke 90-83. Oregon 80, Oregon State 59, Arizona 73, Arizona State 60, Louisville 71, Notre Dame 64, Kentucky 71, Texas A&M 63, Baylor 75. Texas 64. Upset. Vanderbilt, who's unranked, defeated Florida, who ranked number 12, 73-71. Another upset. Seton Hall, who's unranked, defeated Butler, who's ranked number 13, 70-64. SMU 103, Memphis 62. Florida State 66, Miami 57, St. Mary's 81, Portland 58, Wichita State 78, Missouri State 63, and Virginia 67, Pittsburgh 42. And that's it in men's college basketball for the first, for the top 25 teams. Teams ranked in the top 25 positions in men's college basketball. Okay, 4:27 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time, your host, Donnie Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation. To do that, give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Be back. Oh, Okay, 4:33 here at WMFO, Brown Perspective on Sports Time. Let's go to the National Basketball Association. The Pistons, 136, and the 76ers, 106. The Bucks, 101, and the Raptors, 94. That's good for the Celtics. Heat, 120, and the Cavaliers, 92. Cavaliers are having problems. Even with the Kevin Durant injury, I don't know if the Cavaliers are going to be able to repeat. Because, of course, they've got Kevin Love and Smith coming back from injuries. But, they just don't seem like they got the same thing. It's like championship hangover. It's very difficult to repeat. And that hasn't happened too often in any of the major sports recently. Okay, but anyway, let's keep rolling right along. Clippers 101 and the Bills 90. The Bulls of Chicago. NBA basketball. Clippers 101, the Bulls 91. The Hornets 112 and the Nuggets 102. The Rockets 123 and the Grizzlies 108. The Spurs 97 and the Timberwolves 90. And the Trailblazers 130 and the Nets 116. That makes the Celtics pick from the Nets even more valuable. The Nets continue to tailspin out of contention. They were already ever in contention, but they are really, really bad. Glad I don't live in New Jersey. For a number of reasons, other than the Nets. Actually, they're not in New Jersey anymore. They're the Brooklyn Nets. And, hey, I got a cousin, I think, that lives in Brooklyn, somewhere in that area. But anyway, that's another story. It's 4:35 here on WMFO in Medford. The Boston Celtics have been playing tremendous basketball, I would think. They haven't won them all, but they got off their road, started their road trip with a big win over the Lakers. And I believe they play tonight, if I can go through my schedule stuff here and find out what's going on. I don't have it. But anyway, the Raptors lost, and that puts them 3 games behind the Celtics. Washington is Washington is 2.5 behind, and Toronto is 3 games behind. Well, Celtics, barring any injuries, any further injuries, they've had, they have their share of injuries. But Bradley's back. I'm assuming Celtics are playing tonight, but I don't have it on my limited scheduling information here. So anyway, we'll see where they go. I think it's a 5-game road trip, because I heard people talking about 3-2 would be pretty good, 4-1 would be better, and one person said 5-0. So we'll see. And they said 5-0 based on the fact that I think they play Warriors, and the Warriors without Durant are a different ball club. But we'll wait and say, hey, things are going well, And so, therefore, let's just keep hoping that things continue to go well. And like I said, if we can avoid the injury bug and continue on into the playoffs and give Isaiah Thomas a little more rest than he's been getting, we could do some damage. I can't say we're going to get, past the first round. I don't know who we're playing in the first round. But right now, if the season ended right now, the playoff format would be Cleveland versus Detroit and Boston versus Indiana. And we would have home court advantage. Washington would be against Chicago, and Toronto would be against Atlanta. So, we'll see what happens. Okay. Like I said, getting Avery Bradley back is certainly a benefit to the ball club. His defense and his scoring, second leading scorer on the team, by the way. And Jaylen Brown, who I knew nothing about when they drafted him, is just turning it on. And he could be a contender for Rookie of the Year. Since I guess the number one contender, Joel Embiid, may not qualify because he's only played 30-some-odd games. And the rest of the rookies out there have not been on fire. Have not burned the league up, and so therefore, you know, hey, Jalen's numbers could be, as he continues to get, you know, 15, 20 minutes a game or more, could put him in position to be Rookie of the Year. And what he does do, you know, is, you know, kind of spectacular. Not only his drives to the basket, but now he's hitting the mid-range jump shots as well. And at 20 years old, I guess the ceiling is, you know, unlimited. This is a guy, what? 2 years out of high school? Okay, you go, Jalen. You go, Danny Ainge. And the fact that he's been able to, you know, jump in there and get playing time in front of people who have been in with the team for at least 2 years, at least one more year than he has, you know, that's saying something about his bench. And that makes the bench that much better. Okay, 440 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. On the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And we'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
And also by your friends here at Sounds of Praise and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:44 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time and host Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. Just give me a call at 1-855-915-WMFO. You can get involved in the conversation. 1-855-915-9636. National Hockey League. Yesterday, the Bruins 3 and New Jersey 2. What a difference a coach makes. Lightning 2 and the Sabres 1. That's a shootout victory. Senators 3 and the Blue Jackets 2. Stars 2 and the Panthers 1. Canadiens 4 and the Rangers 1. And see, so it's not the difference. It's not the coach. It's who he's coaching. Like I said on another program a couple of weeks ago, after the swap of coaches, it was kind of strange. You know, the Bruins fire Claude Julien, they hire Butch Cassidy. I like to call him Butch rather than Bruce. That sounds more hockey-like. And then so the Canadiens, who are ahead of the Bruins, they fire their coach and they hire Claude Julien. And Julien got off to a rough start, but I think, well, he's 3-2 or 4-2 since he's joined, and the Bruins have only lost one game. They're 5-1, I believe, since the swapping coaches, as they won yesterday over New Jersey. So, there you go. Lightning 2 and the Sabres 1. That was a shootout. Senators 3, the Blue Jackets 2, Stars 2, Panthers 1, Canadiens 4, Rangers 1. Jets 6, Avalanche 1, Capitals 2, the Flyers 1, up with the overtime game, the Blackhawks 5, and the Predators 3, Oilers 4, and the Red Wings 3, Canucks 4, and the Kings 3. In that Bruins game in the first period, there was no scoring, but in the second period at 7:06, Corey Krug got his 6th goal of the year on the power play with assists from Pastrnak and Bergeron. At the 11-minute mark, Devontae Smith What is that all about? His name is Devontae Smith Pelly. He got his 4th goal of the year with assists from Santini and Palmer, tying at 1-1 in the second period. But at 18:25 of the second period, Brandon Carlo got his 6th goal of the year with assists from Bergeron and Backes. And at the end of 2 periods, it was 2-1 Bruins. In the third period, at 5:51, Kyle Palmer got his 20th goal of the year for New Jersey and got an assist from Hall. And that tied it at 2. But at 8:18, Ryan Spooner got his 11th goal of the year with assist from Stafford, the new guy the Bruins just picked up in Vetrano. So he's earning his money already. Final score, Bruins 3 and New Jersey 2. Here's an interesting stat. Schneider, who was the goalie for New Jersey, had 37 saves on 40 37 saves on 40 shots. But Khudobin, who played goal for the Bruins, he could sit in his rocking chair. He only had 17 shots and 15 saves on 17 shots. He had a day in the at the beach. And anyway, Bruins win and 3-2, and that puts them, let me see where they are as far as playoff contention is concerned. Let me see. Okay, they now have 74 points. What did Ottawa do? Bear with me, folks. Ottawa won, so they also have 74 points. And Montreal won. They have 82 points. Oh, actually, Bruins have 74 points. Ottawa has 76 points. And that's the Atlantic Division. In the Metropolitan Division, the Washington Capitals are way out in front. Columbus, who had a hot streak there for a while, has cooled off. And Pittsburgh. And for the wild card, it's the Rangers and the Islanders. So the Bruins are in the playoffs. Although Toronto has 70 points, and so they're not that far behind. And the Florida Panthers have 71 points. So there you go. Out west is Minnesota, Chicago, Nashville in the Central Division. In the Pacific Division is San Jose, Edmonton, and Anaheim. And the wild cards look like Calgary and Los Angeles. So, there you go. Bruins are doing pretty well. And how, you know, someone who knows much more about hockey than I do say the Bruins have changed only one thing. They've allowed the, under Cassidy's coaching, they've allowed the defensemen to get more involved in the offense. Claude Julien was more, let's keep the offensive, the defensive men back as much as possible, so that we won't get beaten on breakaways. And I guess that philosophy did not work that well and didn't run too well, I guess, with the rest of the team. And so with a new voice, a new formula, so far it's worked. Let's rely on our goalies to keep the scores in check and see if we can get some more points on the board. And so far, it has been working very well. So, we'll keep our eye on things and hopefully we'll see what takes place in the days which are ahead as we look up forward to the see how far the Bruins can go in the playoffs. Yeah, playoffs! 451 here on WMFO at Medford, 91.5 on the FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We are multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, March the 5th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Be back, and we're going to be talking Patriots and Red Sox. Maybe Red Sox and Patriots in that order. How about that? Okay, 4:54 here on the Brown Perspective on Sports. WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on the FM dial, touch free farm radio. Okay, yesterday, as I always say, and just to let you know where I stand, exhibition games, preseason games, whatever you want to call them, you know, to me, they don't really mean that much, especially since they play so many of them and they're trying to get an idea of who's who. And who may make the team, who was not on the team last year, and things like that. And they're ironing out rotations and everything else before the season comes. So therefore, hey, what can you get out? The Pirates defeat the Red Sox 3-2 in the game. Brock Holt went 1-for-3. Young went 1-for-3. His hit was a home run. Gord drove in 2 runs. Swihart went 1-for-3. Lake went 1-for-2. He scored the other run and also got a walk. Velasquez started. He went 3 innings, gave up 6 hits, 3 runs, all of them earned, 1 walk and 2 Ks. Kelly went 1 inning, gave up 2 walks and a K. He was kind of wild. He also had 2 wild pitches, but they didn't score on him. Bonds pitched 1 inning, gave up a hit, and that was it. There were other guys that pitched as well, but you know, I don't think they're going to make the ball club, so therefore, you know, I don't think their stats are that meaningful. Unless somebody comes out of the pack and decides that, okay, I'm making a shot at the bullpen or a starting position. The price news is interesting. Someone said that when he gets injured in his elbow, it heals itself, so there's no need for surgery. And he hasn't had anything that serious, I guess, in his career that will require Tommy John surgery or any other kind of surgery for his left elbow, shoulder, etc. So, supposedly 10 days of rest, and we see where we go from there. And hopefully that's good news. But, as I said, I think in another program that I had thought that with the 6 potential starters that we had right now, which was Sale, Porcello, Price, and my favorites would have been Eduardo Rodriguez and Stephen Wright, the knuckleballer, with Drew Pomeranz going to the bullpen. That way we wouldn't have 4 lefties in our starting rotation. And Pomeranz has more experience in the bullpen than Erod has. So, with Price resting, it looks like it's, you know, no longer a consideration. When he comes back, hopefully he comes back and he's healthy. I'm still be in favor of Pomeranz going to the bullpen. The catching situation: Leon and Vasquez are much better defensive catchers than Bruce Swihart, but it looks to me that Swihart is maybe making a push toward making the starting roster, because of his bat. He got hit yesterday as well, and Sandy Leon went through that real hot period, which was very beneficial to getting us into the playoffs last year, but then he cooled down dramatically, as did other players like Jackie Bradley Jr. and Xander Bogaerts. Cooled down, and we knew that, we learned afterwards that Mookie Betts was playing with a bad knee. Swihart may have a shot at being the number 2 catcher. I think Vasquez still has options, and we'll see where they're going to go from there. But it wouldn't be bad if Swihart goes to Providence either. He'll get more chance, opportunity to play there, and we'll see if his bat can bring him back to the ball club. Pablo Sandoval looks like he's really improved in defensively and also offensively. I believe we have the power outage. didn't do anything. But the clock's not on. And what else is not on? The